this InspiredInsider.com interview, we talk with Ken Kaufman. He's the founder of New Living Expo. He talks about how they attract 16,000 visitors to the event. He talks about how he gets big name speakers like John Gray and Dan Millman. That and much more coming up right now. Jeremy Weiss here. We're here with Ken Kaufman. Just a little about Ken. You know, Ken's event, the New Living Expo, attracts 16,000 visitors from across the country to explore ways to improve their health, their prosperity, and their happiness. There's going to be 1,200 exhibitors, over 250 speakers. This year will be the 12th annual conference, and it attracts speaker lineup of renowned speakers, celebrities, scientists, and doctors. And it features people like John Gray, who's the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Dan Millman, author of Way of the Peaceful Warrior. Ken's been doing the New Living Expo for 26 years. It's amazing. And a fun fact about Ken is he likes molding clay. Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And Ken just endured about an hour of technical difficulty, so thank you for that too, Ken.
You're welcome.
We get lots of comments from people who have tons of ideas. They don't know where to start, or they've started and they're just trying to attract people and sales to their business. And, you know, our audience would love to hear your take on this, because you have attracted tens of thousands of people to your event, hundreds of speakers, and thousands of exhibitors. And alone, that's an amazing, each one of them alone is amazing. Before we get started with a few things, could you tell us, how did you come up with the idea originally?
Well, it wasn't originally my idea. It was a buddy of mine back in the early 80s that heard about it as a business opportunity.
Okay.
And way back when, on the Venice Beach Boardwalk in L.A., I used to sell little massage trinkets, and I had a machine that would actually, called a, back then it was an upside-down machine, but an anti-gravity machine.
Right.
And on the Venice Beach Boardwalk, I would put it for sale out there. I wasn't really expecting to sell them, but it was definitely kind of an amusement thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people would go by on a Sunday morning after they had their little brunch, and they would walk by the Venice Beach Boardwalk, and people would be hawking different items. And I had this upside-down machine that I would get some people who were just walking by to hang upside down for a little few minutes.
Hmm.
Boy, that drew a lot of attention. I'd get a crowd of 50 people looking at me going, huh, what is this thing? So I got a lot of, sort of started out like that, selling little wears and tears at the beach, and then I started selling to health food stores, and then eventually I sold them in the expos.
Oh, wow.
And I did a few shows in the early 80s, and then from that, when I heard it was for sale, the Whole Life Expo in the mid-80s, I thought, well, hell, I've already been an exhibitor. Why not buy as an owner? Because I could really feel as an exhibitor that... And that's probably the biggest difference of me being a producer, is that I was an exhibitor before I was an owner.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really have the best of heart for the exhibitors than most promoters, because I was on that side of the fence before I was an owner. So it gives me a different perspective, you know?
Right. So what did you see as an exhibitor when you first were doing the shows that's helped you to kind of run it now?
I really got that they really need to be taken care of, and not just, labeled a number and don't care about them. I give a lot of attention to each exhibitor, and they're actually blown away of how much time I give them if they need it, because they're maybe their first time doing a show and they have no idea what they're getting into, and I just really make them feel comfortable and calm and relaxed, and make sure that they know how to maximize their time when they're at the show, because maybe it's only 25 hours of their life, but I want to make sure they have the most bang for their buck that they get, and it's actually paid off after, 26 years of doing this thing. Enough people have stayed with me over the years to continue the business.
Yeah. So before we get to how you built this up with tens of thousands of attendees, speakers, exhibitors, what was one of the low points you remember when you first were running the event, like a roadblock that you hit?
Oh, man, that was great. The very first show we did at Moscone Center in San Francisco in 87, we had forgot about the insurance to buy for the show. Wow. So we had probably 50 exhibitors waiting to get in with food in their cars, trying to get into the loading dock to unload for the show on Thursday, and we couldn't open up the hall before we had insurance. So we scrambled like crazy to find some sort of insurance at a high outrageous price, but we got it. And I mean, the Lars a low point, boy, that was risky because the very first one you're doing, to have that kind of, you know, you have so many little nuts and bolts to have to do and figure right. out ahead of time, but that's one of the biggest ones. So from that point, ever since that, I always made sure I had my insurance way early. Because, you know, you don't want to make that mistake again, you know. And so that was a pretty low point. I had another low point when we were doing a Cleveland show. It was like 97, 98, and we hadn't paid our fee to the convention center, and they were ready to close us down, and the company was not doing so well back then. And so I was like, and we had to borrow the money from some local PR person to you know, make it enough to where we could open the doors. But that was definitely a low point too, a couple of those.
So the PR person loans you the money to actually get into the event or to...
Yeah, they loaned us like, I think it was like 20 grand or something.
Wow.
We had to have cash, and they scrambled on a Thursday afternoon to come up with some money, and you know, we came back with the revenue from the box office, but it was like, you know, it was like we weren't sure if we're going to even be able to have the show. And
wow. Now from there, tell us about one of the high points, one of a milestone that you're most proud of.
Well, you know, it's funny because overall, I always, you know, people after the show, they always call you up, and even during the show, you know, like now people call you up and thank you so much for doing the show and supporting the community and so forth. But to me, the one of the highest points is when I hear people, and I've got many people that I know that actually gone to the show and they walked around and they talked to lots of different people, and then they finally found somebody that they really liked. Mm-hmm. And they end up becoming married after a while, and then because they met at the show.
Oh, really?
And so I would say there's dozens of people. I don't even know probably how many, but I bet you if we took an inventory of how many people met and got married from the expo, probably hundreds.
Seriously?
I mean, it's really, truly amazing. Because it's a similar sort of mindset of people mm-hmm. who go to the show, mm-hmm. so they have that similarity, and it's really hard to meet people these days to, you know, sort of hook up that way.
They have your values, and yeah, you click with, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, I think about going to a party, and where you're going to be hanging out the most is in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And so what I developed in the show is that I have the largest food court. It's 60 feet by about 200 feet long of, you know, half a dozen, eight natural food booths wow. selling food. But the biggest area in the middle is a giant networking event of all the tables and people sitting, relaxing, networking, talking, socializing. And it's like that's the main party vibration of the show. It's just people like hanging out there and just, you know, disseminating the information, you know.
Yeah. So hundreds of people, wow. So from a personal standpoint, from these people, this really impacted them. What was a milestone for the business aspect? Because I know you said early on it wasn't doing so well, and now you get tens of thousands of people coming to the show.
Well, I sold the expo, Whole Life Expo, in 98, as a 12-year run of a show. And at that point, it was sort of going downhill because we were expanding around the country a little bit too much at that time, mm-hmm. and when somebody decided to buy it, we were like, oh great, you know, we're ready to hand off the torch to the next person. Mm-hmm. And after a year, they lost $1 million, and after they sold it to somebody else, that person, after a year and a half, lost $4 million. We're like, whoa. And then 9/11 hit, and then they just closed it down. So my milestone there was to resurrect it pretty much from nothing.
Wow.
I had to change the name because the people had canceled a couple of shows of Whole Life in the 2001. Mm-hmm. After 9/11, they didn't refund the people's money and gave a little bit of a bad blood. So I changed the name and started from scratch as New Living Expo in 2002. And, you know, just doing one show a year, which is much more manageable than trying to do it seven or eight around the country.
Right.
And I work with a very, you know, I have 1 to 2 people in my office working. I have a few other people, graphic designer, working in their own homes. But it kept it small and much more controllable than, mm-hmm. you know, going around the country and having a staff of 30 people and not knowing what anybody's doing at any given time. So,
right.
you know, it took a sort of an evolution of time. And now it's been another 12 years, and I have the person who bought the rights for Whole Life Expo looking at merging companies again and maybe after next year. So it's like I'm in a 12-year cycle. You know, do it for 12 years, stop it for a few, and I had like a sabbatical, started again for another 12 years, and maybe I'm going to do something different for next year. It's kind of open right now.
Yeah. So what did you see as one of the pivotal things you did the second time around that you were able to build it up?
The main thing is that when I sold the company, everybody got paid. So my name was still good out there in the world, especially in the Bay Area, where it started in the Bay Area.
Right.
And so what really, you know, gave me the ability to be able to do it again is that people were willing to help, to, you know, support it. And I only had 3.5 months to pull off the very first show in 2002 because I didn't know about it until January.
Right.
And we did the first show in like the end of April, like we always do. But, you know, to be able to have the timing and the community support and the support of the exhibitors that I had known for years, but I pretty much fell out of the loop for so many years, 3 years.
Right.
So they just were like, you know, oh my God. And the very first show I did in 2002, people walked around and my wife was remember hearing some people saying, oh, this feels just like the old days of good old Whole Life Expo.
That's and a big compliment, right?
Huge, huge. Yeah. And my wife gets goosebumps when she says the story, you know, because she just gets like, you know, and they didn't know they were talking to the owner's wife at the time, you know. They're just sharing somebody, they know, hey, this is like good vibration. And it just really makes you think that it's not really the name of the show, it's the person behind it that gives the energy and mm-hmm. the love that I have for it to make it really happen, you know.
Yeah, so how do you get 16,000 people to an event, though? That just huge.
You put it out there in the world, and, you know, I advertised like crazy. Print ads, social media, program guides. I mean, we print 150,000 program guides. It fills up a 40-foot container of program. We mail out 60,000 program guides into homes. And it's a massive cost. But at the same time is that there's enough revenue from the exhibitors to support it. And you have to have a lot of people. If you have, you know, that many exhibitors, you need to have a lot of people to make them happy, you know.
Right.
So ratio, balance, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's the balance of how many attendees compared to how many exhibitors you have. If you have 50 exhibitors and 1,000 people, that might be fine.
Right.
But you need the tens of thousands of attendees to you know, fill up the hall with people and create the energy.
Well, that's why this seems so amazing too, because you have to get attendees, you have to get speakers and exhibitors.
Right.
So, I mean, how do you get some of the big name speakers early on when you're starting or even throughout to make it,
well,
you know?
People like John Gray are personal friends of mine. That really helps. And I guess being in the industry for, you know, 25, 30 years, mm-hmm. you get to know a lot of people and you know, you just kind of pick and choose who you want. And it's really kind of a luck thing too, because I put out there maybe for 50 people that I want mm-hmm. and maybe only 20 say yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that molds the show of who's willing to do it, who's available that weekend, you know, so those criteria, you never really know.
Right.
8 months out, who is going to be your keynote speakers, but you just put it out there and see who's kind of hot, and like David Wilcock right now is really hot, and so we booked him, and, you know, so we kind of see who's hot, who's out there, and you know, coming up and being, you know, some of these speakers were very little named speakers when they first started with Whole Life Expo, but then through the years they grew like crazy, yeah.
So, I mean, especially the people who are hot, how do you attract them to... They probably have really busy schedules. How do you attract them to get them to the, you know, the exhibition?
Well, I mean, I'm lucky because people like John Gray don't charge anything to me. I mean, if somebody like that goes to a conference in another place, they could be $50,000.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, you go to China, it's $100,000, you know, something like that for speakers. But it's the relationships that I built that gives me the luxury of getting these people for either nothing or very little, you know, cover expenses. And so I'm blessed to be able to have that ability, you know, just they like me.
For, I mean, for people out there, too, they want to have quality relationships with people. What would you tell them to do to form those quality relationships? Because for you, it almost seems like natural, but you must be doing something that allows you to do that.
Well, it's either my personality or my perseverance, you know, to, you know, sometimes I'll ask people, you know, many years in a row, I've asked, there's probably 10, 12 speakers I've asked almost every other year to, hey, come and speak, you know, you're a celebrity or whatever, and they say no, but I still ask them, and then once in a while they say yes, you know.
Right.
And it's just, you know, it's just beating the drum, you know, to where I just don't accept no as a final answer. It's no right now.
Right. Gotcha. What would be one thing, Ken, that you'd recommend the audience to do right now to, you know, start attracting people, whether it's their product or event or service?
Well, besides have a booth at the show.
That's one. Have a booth at the show. If they're in that industry, yeah.
Number one would be that. Number two would just be, you know, get out there in the world and you know, put yourself out there, because I think a lot of people, they figured, you know, they have a great product, they have a website, they think it's just going to be, you know, rolling in the dough, but I have to get the name of their company and their website out there in the world so people know to find them. So through social media, to, you know, buying display ads, to let people know, going to the Chamber of Commerce meetings and just anywhere you can network with people to talk about your products and whatever service you have, you know, and just to put yourself out there in the world. And some people are usually, you know, good at one thing and not good at another. So when you know that about yourself, find somebody that's good at the thing that you're not and get them going in what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it just feels, I think, overwhelming. Like, where do I start? Like, you know, you have all this stuff that you could do. What have you found to be the most effective?
They could have a booth in a smaller show that might not cost them like they would. Now, our show is about $1,200 for a booth, but I mean, they could buy they could get a booth at a, you know, outdoor flea market kind of thing for maybe $50 and try that, you know, just put it out there and talk to other people about, you know, give me some feedback of what you think about my booth or what I think about my presentation, you know?
Right. Just put it out there and see what people's reaction and adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are some tools, systems that you use in your life and your business that's been effective for you? Because, I mean, obviously when you're putting together these type of, you know, events, it's a lot of stuff to coordinate. What do you do to stay on track?
I think being a Virgo really helps. You know,
What if we can't be a Virgo?
Can't be a Virgo. Hire a Virgo. you know, it's just, you just really create some sort of, because there's so many little opportunities that come through the expo that we want to make sure we capitalize on, and we don't want to lose those opportunities. So, you know, you almost have to, like, you know, almost on a weekly basis, I'll go through my inbox and just sort my mail. It's almost like you got to keep organized and keep on top of it, because once you fall underneath that, it's like a domino effect. You can't swim up too easily. It's just really hard against the current. You really have to stay on top of it and try to, like, stay on top of every little detail you can to not miss opportunities and keep well organized, because that's the only thing you have is staying well organized. You know?
Yeah. What do you use to stay on top of it? Like, do you use any specific software, or you keep a notepad by your, you know, bedstand that you're writing down right when you wake up? Or what do you do to stay on top of it? Because people have a lot of problems with productivity and kind of being disorganized, myself included. You know, I need to be more organized too.
There's not really anything that I would say that I have an easy way of that, but I think that just, you know, utilize whatever systems you have, you know, making files to different things in your folders in your computer to where people have that. Just stay on top of it without going behind, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured, you know, we're all looking for the magic bullet, and I know there's not one thing, but I figured, you know, there's some secret out there that you had. What's before you, I have one final question for you, Ken, and appreciate your time. But before I ask that final question, can you just tell us a little bit about the event and what you're working on with that?
Well, the event, this year and last year, we had Channel 5 as a sponsor, and the only thing that they required us to do is for being a sponsor of the show, which is great, CBS, is that they said, well, we want you to support the San Francisco Food Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And so we said, okay, last year we said, we'll support it. We'll let people come into the show for free if they bring in 4 cans of food.
Wow.
And so last year we advertised it like crazy. Well, we blew the food bank away. We brought in 8,700 pounds of food, which equaled about 10,000 cans, which equaled about 2,500 people coming in for free with that offer. And we're repeating it again this year, but we're not advertising it quite as much as we did last year. We're kind of seeing what the TV does and through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so with your guests that listen to this, if they hear this and they want to come in the show for free, you can bring in 4 cans of food and you can enter for free. So we're doing that again. And that's just exciting because, you know, getting TV spots, you know, these sponsors give us free promotion in exchange for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're giving them, you know, a nice, we're just supporting what their cause that they like to support. And the other thing is just, you know, taking in some of the program guide that we have right now on our website of New Event Expo is a flip program guide. So it's really easy to see it and view it online and just, you know, read it, study it, and see who really interests you as far as a speaker. And, you know, just try to take your time and be relaxed when you come to the show to absorb all this information because it's kind of an you know, intellectual overload when you get to the show, and especially on Sunday night, you're like, my God, I got this information, I got this bag of brochures and leaflets to go through, and what am I going to do with all of it? It's overwhelming. You know, kind of take what you really think you might utilize and try to explore that more after the show and, you know, take some subsequent workshops by these individual people who are, you know, doing those things. And just kind of stay involved with what's happening and current. But the most part is just to really, you know, have fun at the show and call it like a carnival of love, you know, because there's so much good opportunities at our show. I mean, we have business opportunities to, you know, help you build a business from nothing to, you know, just learning how to meditate or take a yoga class, learn how to do all these different things. And what we do is we pride ourselves in how we're able to draw the people in is that we offer a very low-cost admission because we include all the workshops, all the panels, lectures, booths, you know, all the theme things. There's only, you know, special events are not included, but it's like for $25 for the weekend, you can come in and see everything. And normally in a conference like this, you might be paying $300 or $400 or $500
right, for
one person to go in. So we're charging $25, and it's a nice low cost, and that's what draws in the thousands of people because it's very affordable. And that's the message. We want to have the speakers have big attendances.
Yeah.
And with a low cost, and it doesn't cost extra to see John Gray, for instance. You can see him for, you know, same fee for the weekend.
Right.
Or buy one day pass for $15. But it's so low that money, we never want to have money be the factor of why you can't come to the event. If you're interested, we want to make it affordable. If you can't pay for it, volunteer for 4 hours and get in for free or bring 4 cans of food. You know, just, you know, we just want to get more people in to support the exhibitors, of course, and just transform their own lives. Wherever they're at, they're going to find something valuable at the show, no matter where they're at in life. I mean, they're going to find a unique product or a service that they never knew existed and they couldn't live without it after they had it, you know, that type of thing.
What's been one of the most popular ones year after year that people attend? Like I said, if they do go, like, what's like a, you cannot miss this one. This is like one of the best ones year after year.
The speaker and exhibitor.
Yeah. Well, a speaker that maybe, or a topic that people like to check out.
Well, we talked about John Gray a lot, and I love him because he's, you know, relationships, and people always are struggling with relationships. I mean, you know, I've been married for 10 years almost now, and it's still a struggle. I mean, people just think, oh, we'll get married and live happily ever after. Well,
right.
Misnomer very much, they find out very soon after that, especially if they have kids.
Right.
It factors quite a bit. So with John, he talks about how men and women are so differently. We're wired differently. We have different, you know, mechanics that operate us. And he explains that so well Right. He's probably been with me one of the longest of all my speakers.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as relationships and people have the most challenge with that, I mean, he's one that probably, you know, you don't want to miss him because, boy, mm-hmm. he is just a dynamite speaker. Just
for dynamite. Sure.
And exhibitor-wise, there's just so many different things that's hard to say. You know, we had many exhibitors with us for many years, and I don't know of any one particular that stands out that's really kind of cool. I mean, we have this foot bath thing that we like because you put your feet in it and it detoxifies your body through your feet because basically your feet are your whole body is located in your feet. All the nerve endings are there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like you get a foot massage, not just your feet feel good, your whole body, you know.
Right.
So,
no, I have seen that and it turns different colors. Yeah.
Yeah, it turns kind of mm-hmm. brackish. Kind of,
so the final... Go ahead. Ken, I was going to say, the final question I had for you was, one thing that's happened at the conference that you would never have believed unless you were there to experience it? Because I know you have a lot of, you know, different exhibitors, speakers. What's one thing that's happened at the conference that just you would not have believed if you weren't there?
Well, I think, you know, the fact that people getting married is blows me away, that people meet and find their soulmates there. I mean, I never would have thought that, but only when people told me that in the last few years that they've experienced that one factor that they can find somebody that they can be compatible with and they're happy because they're on the same wavelength and they're, you know, got similar interests. That really blows me away that people find their love mate at the expo. And I have many good friends that are married right now and have found their mates at the show for the very first time. And, you know, oh. I mean, it just opens up that possibility. I talked to a lady today who's buying a ticket for the show, and she's single. I kind of figured out she's single because she's coming by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She's having a hard time trying to find a soulmate, you know. And I said, well, you know, open yourself up to possibilities. You never know. And so, you know, people come with that open mind attitude, and who knows what will happen. You know, maybe
right.
make a friend or make a lover. Who knows, you know.
Right. No, I love it. You know, and that note, Ken, I just want to thank you for, you know, your time, you know, over time with the technical difficulties. And everyone should check out, the website is newlivingexpo.com. And, you know, just looks like they have a great lineup of speakers, exhibitors, and everything. So, Ken, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, one last thing is that the concourse we just heard about a few weeks ago, they're going to be, they've been after 25 years of doing shows there since 88. They're finally closing their doors and building condos next year. So we have to move locations for 2014. So based on what I do with this new company and location, so we're going to be having to move out of the concourse, unfortunately.
So the concourse is in San Francisco. And just to reiterate, what are the dates of the conference?
It's April 26th to 28th, always the last full weekend of April.
Mm-hmm.
And we try to do it in San Francisco, where we'll try to stay in San Francisco if we can, but we may move to the South Bay or San Mateo possibly too for the next year. But as a San Francisco event, it's been a nice long run.
Okay. Well, Ken, thank you so much, and I look forward to seeing what happens with Expo in the future.
Okay, buddy. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye-bye.